Hey guys, how's everybody doing? All right, good morning to you guys. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. And my friend, Pastor Lance, is dropping the temperature so I don't sweat to death. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Guys, we are going to be continuing and actually concluding a series of messages that we started 3 weeks ago called Ghost Stories. But before we get into that, actually, if you've got your Bible, can open up and we'll get to it in just a minute. If you've got a Bible, digital Bible, you want to bring it out today, we're going to be in various places of the Bible. This is going to be good information this week for you to go back and take a look at. Some of the things that we're going to be discussing today, you may have never heard of before. And it's definitely something you want to go back and review and think about and meditate on. But before we get to Deuteronomy chapter 30, yes, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. That's an actual book in the Bible. It's not like astronomy or astrology, it's Deuteronomy. Let's say that together, Deuteronomy. You say it real fast, it sounds real funny. Do-do-do-do-do-do. All right, so we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 30, but before we get there, the video that we just saw is about, as part of an Every Nation Church, we go around the world and help to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to ask you guys to be praying for me this week. I'm leaving tomorrow morning, and I'm going to the island nation of Haiti for about a week. And so please be in prayer while I'm gone. One of the things I'm going to be doing is trying to set up a mission trip for us for next year. Anybody want to go to Haiti? Come on. Okay, well, there you go. So you guys can think about that. It's a great place to be, and they definitely need the ministry, and they definitely need the service down there. So we're going to be doing that. Also, I just wanted to let you guys know that yesterday afternoon, we had an amazing time water baptizing 6 people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can show that picture, these are 6 people who profess that Jesus Christ is their Lord, and God is still using the gospel to transform and to change people's lives. And many of them were also attendees at our victory weekend that was this past weekend. We had almost 60 people here this past weekend. And if you're wondering why is this cross here, we just know that the center point of Victory Weekend, as well as the center point of our faith, is what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, we don't worship an empty cross, but a risen Savior, but the cross is symbolic of the work that Jesus did for us on the cross by dying for our sin, which makes us right with God when we trust in Him as our Lord and our Savior. So guys, we are going to begin talking about a topic that some of you have never probably heard of, and some of you have probably heard of this before. And even if you've never heard of it, you've probably seen it in action before. You know, over the last few weeks in this series, we are talking about ghost stories, things that haunt us. We've talked about fear. We talked about the past. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit can change us. And today we're going to be talking about something called generational curses. We spoke about this during Victory Weekend a little bit, so we're going to bring a little taste of Victory Weekend to Sunday morning for you guys. Is that okay? We're going to take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 first. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Now we're going to flip over to Exodus chapter 20. It's not too far away. Second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. It says, and you shall not bow down to them. He's talking about idols there, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations, those who hate me. Many of you guys may have never heard of this concept, this topic called generational curses, but almost every single one of you have heard of this phrase before. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, how real that is. As far as we try to get away from that tree, it still lands near the apple. Half of my life, I tried to be not like my father. I tried to be not like my father. Anybody ever try not to be like somebody else? That is a horrible mission for your life, by the way. Trying not to be like somebody. And then I find myself, when I would be around him, I would notice things, Pastor Lance. I would notice when I went to see him, he had the same hairbrush I had. He used the same type of toothpaste I had. He had the same kind of hat I had. And I'm like, I've tried not to be like this man. But the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And just by the way, halfway through my life, I changed course. Instead of not being like him, I decided I wanted to be like another man, and that man is Jesus Christ. It's a lot more joy in trying to be like somebody than not being like someone else. See, a generational curse, if that word kind of throws you off a little bit, I don't want you to get confused. It's not like a spell that a witch puts on you. Now, I've been to Haiti many times, and they have something very real there. They practice, many of them practice voodoo. And a matter of fact, voodoo at one point and for a long period of time was the official religion of the nation of Haiti. And so they really do have witch doctors there. They really do have these witch doctors that have flags that are half black, half red. And you know that's where the witch doctor is, that the voodoo priest is there. And if you don't like somebody or someone does you wrong, you can drop some money and they will put a curse on them. That is not what we're talking about today. Rather, we're talking about something that gets passed down from generation to generation, from grandmama to mama to me, from granddaddy to daddy to me. And as I look at over the course of my life and my family, I see several patterns of things repeating themselves from one generation to the next generation. I see divorce after divorce after divorce. My grandparents got divorced. My parents got divorced. I see crime in my family. Got an uncle who was in for murder. His son was in for several things in federal prison. I see children being born out of wedlock. I see addiction on my family. It seems like there's a problem up one end and down the other. I also see rampant sexual immorality all through my family. Maybe as you start to think about this, you've already started to see that there's certain things that have been repetitive throughout your family. For example, every family has a black sheep in the family. Why is it got to be black, Pastor Lance? We're going to have to flip the script. Every family got a white sheep. Now, every family's got one of them, don't they? And it's like every generation you see another one. It's like when family gets together, it's like, why, oh goodness, here come crazy Uncle Larry. Why he got to come? Like, kids, hold your ears. We don't know what he's going to say. And everybody know that? Say yes. Everybody's got a family member like that. You don't know what they're going to do. They may not make it because they might be in jail. Who really knows? Or which wife is coming with him this time? Or which lady, you know. Families are families, right? But it seems like for many times we excuse that that's just the way it is. Maybe you've had whole families that you've known. Well, that's just the Joneses. They've always been like that. They ain't never been right. I know ain't's not proper, but, you know, I'm from the South, so a lot of things ain't right in the South. Maybe you've seen repeated health conditions. Maybe you've seen generation after generation have breast cancer. Generation after generation has heart illnesses and things going on. I've seen that in my family. As a 39-year-old man having a heart attack, something's not right with that. That's not normal, what the cardiologist told me. And you have to look back and, well, that's right. My brother, he had congestive heart failure at 30 years old. Right? My dad had a stroke, almost passed away. It's starting to see that there's patterns that this isn't just an anomaly. This isn't just a statistical outlier. There's a pattern of something going on, and it's just not normal. Is everybody with me? Say amen. We're going to talk about these things today. Some people in today's society, they wouldn't use the term generational curse. We use terms today like genetic predisposition. You ever heard that? He's got a predisposition to drink or do drugs or to have this illness or that illness. And we say that's just the way it is. But what we're believing and praying for today is that God will lift the fog. And that the things that have been rampant in your family, maybe for generations, you're going to see it in a new light today. And our prayer is that you won't just accept it, for that's just the way things are. But no, there's something more serious at hand. And we know that sometimes these have a very physical outcome, but they're also very spiritual in their effects on us. And we all have issues in our family. If you could have looked at somebody next to you and say, we all have issues. That's why I love church. Even though we all look good and we look perfect, we are definitely not perfect, are we? But for many of us, we see these kind of stories played over and over again in our family lineage. And you see it throughout history. Different families come to mind, like the Kennedys. Maybe you're familiar with JFK and his family. Well, we know that his brother died at an early age. His older brother, Joe Kennedy Jr. And we know that Bobby was assassinated. JFK was assassinated. We know that his son, JFK Jr., the plane crash. That is not normal for such tragedy to hit one family again and again and again. Maybe you've seen depression run rampant in your family, suicide or suicidal thoughts, seasons of depression. Daddy had a season of depression when we were growing up, and now I'm seeing those seasons, or anxiety. And you thought that was just the way that it is. But today, God wants to let you know that's not from God. Let me just say that again. Season after season of depression from one generation to the next generation, God did not do that. There is evidence of something sinister. There is evidence of something called a curse that may be going on. Maybe there's rampant poverty from one generation or to the next, or business failure after business failure, illness or addiction after addiction. Maybe there is generational racism in the family. Racism is a sick disease that can get passed down from generation to generation after generation. We saw in Pittsburgh over the last few days, something so evil, the largest attack on Jewish people in our nation, which is really hard to believe. And evidence is coming out about the racism in this man's history. Maybe there's more to these stories than just what we see on the outside. Could it be that there are something spiritual that's going on? And I don't want you to feel bad about the things that I'm talking about today. It's easy to have the fog lifted for us to see that all of these things in our family and just to feel bad about it. But we should not feel bad. We should be rejoicing, because today God is exposing something that He wants to end in your life and in your family. Can someone say amen to that? Now, I know for some of us, we may say, well, I don't believe this is going to happen to me, because the Bible says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that is true. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, in John chapter 8, verse 36. It says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. But there's something I want you to write down. And it hit me like a ton of bricks this week, and I want it to hit you just the same way. If you are taking notes, I want you to listen to this. In Christ, you have been set free from the penalty of sin. You have been set free from the penalty of sin. See, sin has a high cost. See, the punishment for sin is death. What happened on the cross? We deserve that. Not only is it death, but it's eternal separation from God. If you don't have a Savior, if you are not redeemed, you are doomed to suffer the penalty of sin. Now, here it is. In Christ, you have been set free from the penalty of sin, but we have not been free from the consequences of sin. See, we're free from the penalty, but not the consequences. Now, I have a nephew. Hopefully, he's not watching live on Facebook right now. But he asked me one time, he had a breakup for this relationship with this lady, and he's like, if God can forgive me, why can't she forgive me for the things that I've done? I said, nephew, those are consequences. Those are consequences. You know, I'm going to give you an example. Most of us have heard about this guy named Moses in the Old Testament. He's the guy who is the deliverer of the Jewish people, over 2 million people in captivity, led through the Red Sea, and they were in pursuit of this place called the Promised Land. God said, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. That sounds good, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And for 40 years, they were in pursuit of the Promised Land. And when they were close, Moses does something dumb. He takes matters into his own hands instead of entrusting in God. And because of that, he had to suffer the consequences of his actions. And the consequences of his actions were God said to him, you will not be able to go to the Promised Land. You think about this. His entire 80 years of his life were spent in the desert being groomed by God, and then 40 years delivering the people and wandering around in the desert to get to this Promised Land that God had promised him. And he was so close he could almost taste it. God allowed him to see it. But his punishment is you can't go. And he died outside of the Promised Land. And those are the consequences. All of us have consequences for our sin. But that doesn't mean that that will change things eternally. We know that Moses ended up meeting Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, it says, just then there appeared before them, who is it? Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So you can be forgiven of your sin and the penalty of your sin, but there are still natural consequences. Like if I go and rob the liquor store tonight, there are going to be some consequences. God will forgive me. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Department will not. If you cheat on your spouse, they may not. God will. You know, even science confirms the fact that there are these things called generational curses. Just in case you were a little in doubt, maybe this is real, maybe it's not. It gets more than spiritual, but in a very natural and a very real way. Down to our very DNA, there is evidence of generational curses. And when I say generational, I want to be extremely clear. What I mean is not only does it affect you, but it affects your children and your children's children, and your children's children's children. The decisions that you make in this life can affect generations. I want you to see this video that really combines the science and the spirituality of generational curses.
What science has now learned, and is so fascinating, is that the choices we make in life will alter how our genes are expressed. This is big. People need to really sit up and pay attention to this, because science is now confirming scripture. In lectures that I do, I often ask the audience, which is more scientifically accurate, the Bible or Charles Darwin? Well, guess what? It's the Bible. Darwin hypothesized that it was mutation over millions of years that caused his finches to have different beaks. Science has actually now proved it's epigenetic modification. Epigenetic, the instructions sitting above the genome, telling the genes how to express themselves, which are changed based on experience. what we go through in life, the foods that we eat, the choices we make, the environment in which we live will actually alter the genes in telling which genes to turn on and which genes to turn off.
What we know about genetics and addiction is that behaviors, sensations, input into the brain will use the DNA to change how the cell responds. And basically what happens is that genes are turned off or turned on based on what that response is. While the DNA doesn't change, the expression does. So the ability to be aware of environment, ability to respond may be genetically coded, but when we begin changing it, the term we use is epigenetically. When we change how that's expressed, we change the enzymes that are made, we change the response of the cell, and that change becomes a part of the genetic expression.
Doesn't happen generally with one exposure to pornography. It's the repetitive, volitional exposure to pornography that will cause this type of gene expression to happen, such that you alter your pleasure circuits and you alter the inhibitory feedback, which would tell you not to do this. And that's epigenetic modification, changing your brain function. So when we have kids, we not only give the sequence to our kids, we will pass along the instructions 2 and 3 generations down. And so if we become addicted to stuff, we can pass along to our kids gene constellations that make them more vulnerable to addictions. Conversely, if we get victories over stuff, we can actually pass on advantages.
There's good animal evidence that that change in expression can be transmitted to the offspring. Those enzymes, those mechanisms, those genes that are turned off may also be turned off in the next generation.
So we can pass along both positive things in our life and or negative depending on the choices we make in life. And so the Bible is actually more scientifically accurate than Charles Darwin, because we do pass down to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, the experiences that we go through in life based on the epigenetic modifications. They will get not only our genes, but the instructions on how those genes are expressed. Many adolescents will say things like, "Hey, it's my body, I can do what I want." Only if you're never gonna have kids. If you're gonna have kids, it's not only your body, it's your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids' body too, so be careful what you do with it.
Don't think of it as a battle you're just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for the very lineage that God gave you. And if you will break this curse, then your sons and your daughters have a better shot, and your grandchildren have a better shot. My son's name is Jubilee, because his dad took the courage to break the curses off of him. I want to invite you to do the very same thing for those you love.
What you do matters. The choices that you make today actually not only affect you, but they affect the next generation. You know, for some of you, this is brand new information. It's my hope that it fires you up a little bit. I don't get too hot about too many things. I get passionate about only a few things, about Jesus and my family. Other than that, I don't really care about anything else. I care about you because, you know, we're family. But you're part of family. But the idea of something overtaking my family, that fires me up. What it means is that we should be on watch when there are things coming down to our family, that we have a position that we can take to overcome it. That means that every day we have that choice to make, to be able to overcome. You know, one of the things that I get fired up about is about having a long marriage with my wife. My parents divorced when I was 3 years old. They were married for 10 years. And so this year when me and my wife, we hit that milestone of 10 years, it was more than just going to double digits. It was like we slapped high five and like we made it past my parents. It's like a milestone. Okay, that thing is going to be cut off. And I think what happens is for many of us, we give up way too easy on certain things. We just give in and say, well, that's just the way it is. It's too hard. I've talked to or spoken to so many men and they give up because it's hard. It's really hard when things are not going the way you want them to, particularly in relationships. And for some men, it's easier to give up than to eat crow, admit I'm wrong, be humble. But don't you know that you are fighting for more than just your own personal happiness? You are fighting not only for you, but for the generations to come. And the generations are looking at your fight to see if you can overcome. If you can overcome that porn addiction. If you can overcome that pill addiction. If you can overcome that illness, that pattern that's been going on. Now, there's some breast cancer survivors in here. Who's in here? Come on, I know you're in here. Okay, let's give a big hand. That's a fight. That's a fight. And for many of you guys, you probably had other people in your family that fought that, and they may not have been as successful. But you know what? That door got knocked on, and death came knocking at your door. And by the grace of God, you're still standing today. And if that door comes and knocks on your kid's door, they're going to say, my mama fought this, and she survived. Come on now. Somebody needs to get a fight and say, not on my watch. See, a long time ago, we used to have church a little bit differently. Let me take you back to old church. See, back in old church, everything was under the blood. Not in my house, that's under the blood. Not my children, they're under the blood. Not my Cheerios, they're under the blood. Everything was covered by the blood because it's on the finished work of the cross where his blood was shed. We have a relationship with God, and for many of us, we have not tapped into the relationship with God. For many of us, Pastor Lance, myself, we were talking earlier today, and for many people, they have this que sera, sera, Doris Day kind of thing. Whatever will be, will be. And when life begins to happen, we don't fight back. We just accept it. We're like a very bad boxer. We sit there and we take it. But we are not being who God called us to be by just taking it. Jesus didn't just take it when the storm came, did he? You know what he did when the storm came? He didn't say, oh man, this is a big one. This is a cat five. We've gone. He got up and he said, peace be still. What happened? Storm died down. When's the last time you said peace be still to something that's knocking on your family's door? When's the last time you stood in the face of a potential divorce? Said, not on my watch. Getting quiet here. You know what? Maybe you've given in before, but you don't have to give in anymore. You can stand up. Bible says in the book of Proverbs, a righteous man falls down six times, but what? He gets back up. Some of you need to get up. Some of you have been down for too long, and you've allowed the world to kick you. You've allowed things and happenstance and generational stuff to keep you down. It's about time you get up. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to stand. See, some of you, I'm getting loud because you need to be stirred. See, some of you, it's so easy for us to go to work, go to school for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and you wake up and you're almost dead at 70, 80 years old, and you haven't really lived the life that Christ has called you to live. But some people get this. You ever heard of them old praying grandmas? Been praying for grandbabies before they were even born. And they see you acting a wild child. I had a mama who was like that. Pastor Ron had a mama who was like that. And we were wild, but they said, not on my watch. And I was buck wild for like 25, 26 years. And my mama was praying like crazy. Not my child, Jesus. That's the way my mama would pray. Not my child, Jesus. And you know what? Jesus got my attention. May not have been when she wanted to, but I'm right here. Come on, somebody give the Lord a big praise. So don't think you can't stand in the gap for your children. And when that stuff starts to come on you, you need to stand up firm. And you need to hold to the Word of God. And you need to profess what the Word of God says about you, your family, your marriage, your relationships, your children. Can somebody say amen? I think God wants to wake you up a little bit today. It's like going to a chiropractor. There's something that's been out of alignment. And anybody ever been to a chiropractor? Does it feel good when he starts popping stuff? Things start popping and locking. But it's necessary to get it back in alignment. It's necessary. It doesn't feel good, but it's needed. That's what God is doing today. He's saying for you, if you're looking for a sign, there it is. If you're looking for a message, here it is. Wake up and realize if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. If you are a child of God, you have a special relationship with Him. I'm going to give you 3-4 ways to break these generational curses. You might want to write these down. Some of you guys, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if that's even possible. But I just want to tell you something. As a child of God, you have access to God. You have a God-given right to the blessings of God. And you also have been given the power to say no to sin. The first thing is to receive. I've got 4 R words, receive. Receive Christ. Now, if you're a born-again believer, you've done this. Receiving Christ opens your eyes up. God gives you a new heart. The old is gone. The new has come. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, God gives you the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. And He allows you to know what is of God and what is not of God. And when your eyes are open, you're able to see things clearly. It's like the day I got born again. For whatever reason, it felt like the sky was bluer, the grass was greener. Life really happens. Kind of like when I quit smoking cigarettes. Anybody ever smoke cigarettes? Okay, you can't taste a thing. Everything tastes like tofu. But oh, when you stop smoking, oh, everything tastes good. Strawberries taste like strawberries. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. That's old school Willy Wonka. So when you receive Christ, that's the first step. You're able to really live life and know what spiritually is going on around you. The second thing is to remember. Remember what happened before you. What's going on in the generations before you? Don't be ignorant of what happened to grandmama and daddy and all of them, mom and them. If stuff was going on, like disease and illness and depression and things like that, know what that is, because if it starts knocking on your door, don't think that maybe this is just you. It's probably been going on for a while if we see it repeated throughout your family. The third thing is repent. I can't say this one loud enough. First is to receive, remember, and then repent. What repentance means is to recognize that I have been thinking wrong. I have been thinking like the world. Part of thinking like the world is just accepting whatever the world has to say. I guess you're always going to be like that. Well, you're a single mom. You're always going to be like that. You're an uneducated black man. You're always going to be like that. You're just this. You're always going to be like that. That's what the world says. But when we repent, we start to line our thoughts and our actions up with the Word of God. We're going in one direction away from God, but when we repent, we start going towards the Word of God. We start believing the Word of God. We start acting according to the Word of God. And the last one is to renounce. Renounce. We don't do a lot of renouncing nowadays, but basically renouncing means you need to cut ties with. You need to cut ties. We don't like cutting ties. We like forming ties. We like starting stuff. We don't like to stop stuff. Some of you in relationships for too long that you're not married to. And you've been in it so long, you think, well, we might as well just stay together. It's quiet. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, whoever conceals or tries to hide their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You know, sometimes I dream in the daytime, daydreams, and I wondered this week, what would this life be like if we started to experience generational blessings versus generational curses? And I'm thankful in the book of Deuteronomy 28. Read the book of Deuteronomy 28. It is an amazing chapter of the Bible. This is what it says, Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to pray and see what God does. And verse 1, it says, now it shall come to pass. And think about this as God speaking to you. Some people will say, this is the Old Testament. God's not really using this to talk to me. All that curse stuff, that's just the Old Testament. Well, he's the same God. The Bible says he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And just as much as generational curses are still around, generational blessings are around as well. We're about to read about generational blessings. And some of you are like, well, that really doesn't apply to us. That's for the Hebrew people of that day. But did you know, as a child of God, that you have been grafted into the family of believers? You have the same rights. You are a child of Abraham by faith, therefore an heir to the promises. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey. The curse comes by sin and is destroyed by obedience. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed you shall be in the city. Blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That's your children. That's the generations. The produce of your ground, increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and of your offspring, your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. And they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses, your bank account, and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Let me ask you a question. Will you choose life versus death today? I just want to pray for you. If you could bow your head. For many of you, it's like a eye opener to realize that there's something else going on beyond just all these little situations that I see, but once you begin to think about it, you do realize that this has been going on generation after generation after generation. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you for lifting the fog today. Thank you, God, for your presence in this room and opening our eyes to things that need to be cut off. Curses that need to stop. Father, I pray that in this room, your power is living and active. Your word is living and active. And today, God, you want to do work on the inside of us. If you're in this room and you realize that there is evidence of a generational curse in your family, and today is the day that you want to make a stand, I want you to raise your hand all around this room. So many different things have been going on generationally. Father, you see every hand that's being raised right now. They've seen it time and time again, and maybe it's even knocked on their door. God, I pray that your word is true. All things are possible to him who believes. That means that the evidence, the things that we see that are progressing towards us, progressing towards our children, can stop in this generation. By the power of the living God, by the blood of the Lamb, which covers our sin, we declare, maybe some of you need to renounce. Some of you need to renounce. Renouncing for you might look like you need to write this down later on. Rip it up in the name of Jesus. For some of you, you need to speak it out audibly and say, I renounce this curse that's tried to come on me and my family. I rebuke it, not in my authority, but in the name that is above every name, the name in which demons tremble, the highest authority, the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare it be broken under the authority of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over every curse. We say, let it be canceled. Let it be canceled. Let it be a thing of the end. Jesus' name.
Lord, even over our children right now, God, we just stand in agreement as a church and as parents, God, for our babies. God, we thank you that the curse will not be on our children. God, any form of cancer, we resist you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Any disease or sickness, we resist you. Leukemia, you have no place in our babies, in Jesus' name. Financial lack, adultery, divorce,
yes.
We thank you, Lord, that it will stop right now, that our children will walk in just what we read. They will be blessed coming in, blessed going out. They will be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, Lord. God, we proclaim your goodness and your mercy upon our babies today. We thank you for the cross and what you've done for us, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand.